The Lord be with you. This past summer, I spent a lot of time training to hike Mount Shasta. And to do that, I needed to find trails with a lot of elevation gain. And so I did research finding hikes I'd never gone on before. And one of the hikes I found sounded great. It was about 3,000 elevation descent down a canyon to a beautiful swimming hole in a creek, and then 3,000 feet of climbing back out the canyon. And the trailhead was just outside of the little town of Cohasset, not too far from here in Chico. So early one morning, I drove out to the trailhead, and when I got there, I parked my car, and I looked out, and I saw shotgun shells and bullet casings just littering the ground, and there were just tree stumps full of bullet holes. I took this picture of it. I think that's an old muffler that's just shot up. And I thought to myself, you know, this is a bad sign. We try to look for signs in our life, right? Some of us, we look for signs about what our financial future is going to be by looking at signs in the stock market, or we look for signs on how our day is going to go by checking for signs in the weather, or some of us have been wondering how we're going to get along with our family by looking for signs in Thanksgiving conversation. Everywhere we go, we look for signs for what our future is going to hold, what our life is going to be like. Today we hear Jesus say there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And Jesus says this because at the beginning of Luke 21, this chapter, Jesus has told his disciples that the temple in Jerusalem, which they had been admiring, was going to come crumbling down. And not just the temple in Jerusalem, but all of Jerusalem with it. And understandably, the disciples are alarmed. This is a scary thing. It's scary for them because Jerusalem is not only the biggest city of their culture, but the temple in Jerusalem is the way in which Jewish people at that time understood they should be in right relationship with God. That idea of being in right relationship with God, we have a word for it. It's called righteousness. To be righteous is to be right with God. And sometimes we want to live in a righteous world, a world that is as it should be in relationship with God. The trouble is, when we trust in our own righteousness, our own understanding of how we and the world should be in relationship with God, the signs we end up seeing continually point to a mess. And that's what I found, right? I saw that shot up hillside, and I thought to myself, well, this is a bad sign. It's a bad sign because it doesn't look like my idea of righteousness. And so all I could see in that moment was a mess. But I had read that this path would take me to something beautiful. And so against my better judgment, I started walking down it. And as I walked down the path, I heard in the distance giant booms. And I felt the ground under me begin to shake. And I thought to myself, what in the world is happening? And as I kept walking further and further down the trail, deeper into the canyon, I saw trees falling over. And as I got closer, I could see there was these giant logging trucks with, you know, saws and forklifts. And it was clear they were cutting down the trees along the trail. And I thought to myself, well, this is a bad sign. You know, let's be clear. I'm not a tree hugger. I'm maybe a tree high fiver. Yeah, I understand logging needs to happen, just not in my backyard, right? Not on the trail I am actively walking down, yeah? This is not my idea of what righteousness looks like. And because it's not my idea of righteousness, in that moment, all I could see was a mess. And yet, I had read that if I followed down this path, I would see something beautiful. And so against my better judgment, I kept walking down. And what that meant is I could see where the trees were falling, and I went a little bit further out of my way off the path to make sure they didn't fall on me. And as I kept going further down this path, deeper into the canyon, eventually I looked down a ways ahead of me and I saw a line of like 5 pickup trucks and a crew of burly men all standing around with their arms crossed right in the middle of the path I was trying to walk down. And I thought to myself, this is a bad sign. Right? I'm walking down. I got my 2 like hiking sticks, and I got my big floppy hat and my camel back, and I essentially look like a walking ad for Patagonia, right? And I think to myself, I wonder what these large-looking loggers are going to think about this random guy just trying to walk through the middle of their work site. I thought to myself, this is not my conception of how things should be, right? This is not my idea of righteousness. And so as I looked down, all I could see was a mess. And yet, I had read that if I followed this path, I would find something beautiful. And so I kept walking down, and when I got to, you know, essentially a blockade of loggers, I put on my best smile and I said, "Howdy, how are you all this morning?" And they looked at me with confusion and they said, What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I have read that if I follow down this path, I will get to something beautiful, an amazing swimming hole in a creek." And they go, "That's miles down there." And I go, "Yeah, but that's what I'm doing today. Can I get through?" And they said, "Well, yeah, this is public land. We are actively logging all along it, so you have to watch out for falling trees." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm willing to do it." And they said, "Yeah, all right, well, best of luck to you." And so I kept going down the path further into the canyon. And eventually, you know, yes, I saw a lot more trees coming down and loggers along the way. But eventually, I got past all that. I got to the bottom of the canyon, and the footpath broke off from this old dirt road. And I started walking along it, and here it was quiet. It was overgrown with ferns, and the trail was covered in these salamanders that were squiggling around. And I thought to myself, this is what I was looking for, right? This is my understanding of how the world should be, how I should relate to God. This is righteousness. And in that moment, I heard a rumbling. It was not a rumbling from outside, it was a rumbling from inside my stomach. There was a shaking in my bowels. And I thought to myself, this is a bad sign. There was not a toilet anywhere near this place. In that very moment, when I thought, at last I have found righteousness, I am here to confess to you that I made a mess. And that's what tends to happen when we trust in our own righteousness, when we insist that the world be the way we think it should be. Jesus tells his disciples that Jerusalem and the temple will be destroyed. He promises that it will happen before this generation passes away, and within 40 years of Jesus saying so, Rome burns Jerusalem to the ground. And the reason is because there was a group of Jewish people who thought the only way that they could be righteous, the only way that they could properly relate to God and be in right relationship with God, is if they, Jerusalem, and the temple were completely free of Roman rule, and so they forced other Jewish people into an open rebellion with Rome, which they lost brutally. Not only did Rome burn down Jerusalem and tear down the temple, it made a law that for hundreds of years, Jewish people were not allowed to live in Jerusalem. This isn't the first time we've seen this happen. You may have remembered last week we talked about the Babylonians conquering Jerusalem. At first, the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem. They just wanted to rule it, you know, get money and slaves and stuff from it. But one of the puppet kings they had put in place thought to himself, you know, the only way that I can be righteous, the only way our people can be righteous is if we and this temple are completely free from Babylonian rule, and he staged a rebellion and lost brutally, and so Babylon burned Jerusalem down, destroyed the temple, and carried all the Jewish people off into captivity. Sometimes we think we know what it means to be right in this world, but when we trust in our own righteousness, we make a mess. And it is such a discouraging thing to think you know what should be and to work for it and to just end up making things worse. And so Jesus has to tell his disciples that when the signs are coming, that the city they love, the temple where they know how to be right with God, when the signs are coming, that all that's going to come down, he says, be on guard. Do not let your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. When the world isn't as we want it to be, sometimes we try to check out. That's dissipation, right? Well, fine, I'm just going to watch YouTube and Netflix and scroll on my phone, and I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm not even going to try walking down the path that's set before me. Or sometimes we turn to drunkenness, right? We numb ourselves with substances and distractions so that we'll walk down that path, but we don't have to feel what it's like. Jesus says, don't do either of these things. Well, what else is there? When Babylon has destroyed Jerusalem, Jeremiah writes chapter 33 of his book, that which we heard today. And in the midst of what seems like Jerusalem's total destruction, what seems like the dynasty of King David being cut down to a stump, Jeremiah offers a word of hope. It's not so different what Jesus tells his disciples, what Jesus tells us, and what perhaps Jesus was speaking even to Jeremiah. That heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Because you see, God had made a promise to the Jewish people, to King David, that his descendants would be kings forever. And so when it seems like everything that this promise was built on had been cut to the ground, Jeremiah said, don't give up. Because God will cause a branch to spring up out of this stump of David. And this branch will execute justice and righteousness in all the land. Now, righteousness is that right relationship with God, but justice is that right relationship with other people. And Jeremiah says that this branch will bring salvation to Judah and safety to Jerusalem through this justice and righteousness. Friends, this branch that shoots up from the stump of David, it will be called the Lord is our righteousness. I have a picture here of a stump with just a little branch starting to poke out of it. That branch will be called the Lord is our righteousness. My friends, that branch is Jesus, who is a descendant of King David, who is the King of Kings and Prince of Peace. And Jesus brings salvation not only to Judah, but to each and every one of us. Jesus brings salvation to us, but not through the righteousness we imagine. No, Jesus brings salvation and righteousness through his own righteousness. Because the righteousness that we imagine is often so very different from Christ's righteousness, right? We imagine what it is to be right in this world is to pay back with vengeance those who have wronged us. But Jesus' righteousness is forgiveness. We think to be righteous is to curse those who curse us, but Jesus says to pray for those who curse us. We think righteousness is independence and freedom. And Jesus says, no, righteousness is living a life of service to your neighbors in need. Our righteousness is not Christ's righteousness, but it is Christ's righteousness that will save us. Because here's the thing, when we trust in our own righteousness, all we end up seeing is a mess. But when we trust in Christ's righteousness, what we end up seeing is that we are blessed. It may be that there is a mess, but even in that mess, Christ's righteousness allows us to be blessed. And the most tangible way we have to trust not in our righteousness, but in Christ's, is through the waters of baptism. To return ourselves to the baptismal font, or to a shower, to stand in the rain, and to feel wash over us that God has promised that we are loved, that we are given good life now and forever, not because we are righteous, but because Christ is. That in those waters we can be made clean and have a fresh start. And let me tell you, that day at the bottom of that canyon under Cohasset, I needed to be made clean on a very literal level, yeah? And it just so happened that God had provided me a way to remember my baptism. A beautiful creek. I stripped down and I took my soiled clothing and put it in a bag, and fortunately I had a swimsuit. And so I went into those waters and I remembered my baptism and I washed and made myself clean, not in my righteousness, but in Christ's. And that water looks beautiful, right? And if I had my way, that water would have been 80 degrees. It was 51 degrees. I have a little thermometer I carry with me everywhere. It was 51 degrees, and it was physically painful to wash in it. But it felt so good to be given a clean start, to see that I might be a mess, but it was okay, because I could put my trust in Christ's righteousness. Jesus says to his disciples that when they see these signs, that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, he warns them that other people will faint with fear and foreboding at what is to come. But Jesus says in that moment, they will see him. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and glory. That in the moment they think everything is the worst, they will see that God is the best. And so he says to them, in that moment, stand up and lift up your heads, for your salvation is drawing near. After I washed in those waters, I had to stand up and lift up my head, because there was only one way out of the canyon, and it was back up the trail that I had hiked down. And so I began walking up the trail. And as I was walking up the trail, one of those pickups drove up past me, and it stopped. And the logger inside said, "Hey, you need a ride?" And I said, "Thank you." And I thought to myself, I should not go inside an enclosed vehicle with anyone else right now. But what I said was, "You know, I'm actually training to hike Mount Shasta, so I need as much vertical elevation gain as I could get." And the logger said, "Oh, that's really cool. You know, I've been training recently, too. I'm trying to get into running marathons." And we spent 5 minutes just kind of chatting about our different training routines. And then he drove off. I had thought those pickup trucks were a bad sign, because I had trusted in my own righteousness. But when I trusted in Christ's righteousness, I saw they were a sign of how good God was and that I was blessed. Because if I needed it, there would have been someone there to help me. And so I kept walking back up that trail. And as I got further up, I eventually got to the spot where those loggers had been actively cutting down trees in their big equipment. But when I got there, it was all quiet. And I saw some of the guys were, you know, looking under the hood of the vehicles and climbing under, and it was clear something was wrong. And I said, hey, how's it going? And they said, oh, you made it back. And they wanted to know, you know, what was the creek like? And I told them, and I asked, had they gone and been in it? And they said, no. And these are young guys. It turns out they're not from Cohasset. They're from some other part of the state, and they'd been sent here by the logging company. And they were holed up in a little hotel and had no idea what they could do with themselves. They were so excited to learn there was a beautiful place that they could go and relax. I thought those loggers had been a bad sign. Turns out they were a sign of God's goodness. When I trusted in my own righteousness, I could only look at them and see a mess, but in Christ's righteousness, I realized that I was blessed and that we could be a blessing for each other, not in spite of our differences, but because of them. And so I kept walking my way back up that path. And as I was walking, the logger said, oh, as you go, careful. We've got some trucks that will be coming in to carry out the logs. And as I got almost to the top, I saw one of those trucks, and it was just parked along the side of the trail, and there was a guy sleeping inside, so I figured I'd just walk around quietly. But as I walked around, the driver woke up, and he said, oh, hey, what you doing? And I said, oh, you know, I just went down to the creek, and I'm walking up. And he said, oh, well, tell me what that's like. And so I walked over, and we started chatting, and I noticed that he had in his cab the Virgin of Guadalupe and some Mexican flags, and that he spoke with a little accent. And so I took a gamble, and I asked him in Spanish, where are you from? And he replied in Spanish that he's from this little town in central Mexico. That's just a couple hours away from where my family in central Mexico lives. And so we started chatting more about that, and Mexico had just elected its first female president. And I asked him, you know, what do you think of this new president in Mexico? And he's, you know, he said, it's great that she's a woman, but I got some other concerns. And we entered into 45 minutes of the most nuanced political conversation I'd ever had, specifically about Mexican politics. You know, I thought these logging trucks were a bad sign, but they were a sign that God is good, that no matter where we go, we are more closely connected than we might think. I had trusted in my own righteousness, and I could only see those trucks as a mess. But when I trusted in Christ's righteousness, I could see that I was blessed by those trucks. And so after I finished the conversation, I kept walking back up that path until I eventually got to the top, to that shooting range where I had started. And I stood on that shooting range, but this time I didn't look at the mess. I looked out at the trees. And this is the view I saw. And here's the thing, I was still standing in a mess. But when I looked out through Christ's eyes, I saw that I was blessed. Jesus tells his disciples that, oh yeah, there'll be the signs and the sun and the stars and the moon, and people will be scared of them. And the truth is, there are signs today on TV, in the newspaper, online, about all the scary things that are happening in this world, about how the kingdoms in which we put our trust are being shaken. But Jesus says to his disciples, he says to us, maybe look at something closer than those scary skies. Look at something local. Jesus says, look at all the trees, for when they put forth their green leaves, you know that summer is near. So too, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Oh yes, the kingdoms of our desire may be distant, but the kingdom of God is always near to us if we can learn to look for it, to look at those trees putting out their green leaves. This past summer, my family started a spiritual practice. Each night, at the end of the day, we'd ask each other, where did you see God? And then we'd write it down. I have a picture of our journal entry from June 4th, Cohasset Beach, the water temperature, 51 degrees, I wrote it down. I said, I saw God in the friendly loggers and in the embarrassment of grace of my diarrhea. You can take that down, yeah. Because here's the thing, you know, it's not that I ate a bad burrito. It's that I'd had so much anxiety building up in me because everything looked wrong in my eyes. And then eventually I let go of all that anxiety and it had to come out somewhere. But in that humiliation, I remembered, oh yeah, this isn't about me. This isn't about how great I am. It's not about my righteousness. It's about Christ's. And I was set free. I was washed clean. I experienced salvation in that moment. I saw something beautiful down that path. When your hearts are weighed down and worried from all the scary signs you've seen this world, I invite you to look at all the trees. I invite you to ask each other, where did you see God today? And write it down so you can remember when times are hard again. Stand up. Lift up your heads and see that your salvation is at hand. Because it may be that when you trust in your righteousness, all you see is a mess. But when you trust in Christ's righteousness, you will see that you are blessed. Amen.